There's some value in making it shitty.
right, we're going. It's 8:03. We're not here waiting around for other podfathers. Without
No.
further ado, Ben Failed 72, Ben Bach, and Jeremy Wolfgrim. How do you pronounce your last name, sir?
It is Wolf Graham, and
Wolf
thank you for
Graham.
having me.
Oh.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Always love that one.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, it's great to be back. I had tons of fun when I've done this with you before, Peter. So
Yeah.
this will be a good time.
Yeah, Ben, you've been on before. Jeremy, first time. Can't say how stoked I am to have our current champ, Benjamin Bach, and our very honorable second place finisher, Jeremy, in the house as well, all under one call. So, I mean, I'm just going to start this off. Jeremy, where were you on January 2nd, 2023? And were you watching what transpired on the football field?
I don't remember. I don't recall that anything significant happened that day. I don't remember
Okay.
exactly.
Sounds like it's been scrubbed from your memory.
Yeah, it's been erased
Dude.
completely. I went full Men in Black and it just erased it. Yeah, no, I mean, I think right when it happened, it was like, well, that can't be good.
Yeah.
We there was never going to be a resolution that everybody agreed upon. And
Yeah.
right from the get-go, I had a feeling that I was going to be on the short end of that stick, and I understood. And we were running across it in different leagues too. So we were,
Right.
I was dealing with it as a commissioner in another league as well, like what to do and how to handle everything. So it is what it is. You play this game or any game long enough, you just know there's going to be bad beats. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the and that's the I mean, it's the nature of the beast and what we sign up for. What were the I'm curious now that we have like as a league, hey, that the decision is what the decision is. I'm curious for any insights that you guys are willing to share as far as those conversations with Kamish. I mean, it seems like it was fairly straightforward. Brent's wanting to hop in this call, so I'm gonna let him in. But is it as simple as Kamish has made it out to seem, where I was like, hey, here's kind of the decision, and informing you guys, or was it collaborative in any sense of the word or anything like that?
Honestly, it was so long ago that I don't remember like the details, but I
Sure.
do recall that he reached out. I believe Kamish reached out and was like, "Hey, I'm obviously mulling this over. Like, I want to talk with you guys and make sure that I, do right by everybody, but I want your input." So I think he allowed us to kind of share where we were at, but it seemed like both Jeremy and I were kind of up in the air about what even was the best call, right? Because obviously we both had incentive for it to go our way to be the champion, but I don't think either of us were like, well, I need to be, and this is why. It wasn't like we were pleading a case in front of the judge and then he ruled. I feel like it was fairly, I don't even know the right word, but we were just kind of
Okay,
sharing, hey,
champ.
we get
Okay,
it.
champ. All right. Easy for
That's what I thought.
easy for you to say, I
That's what
suppose.
I
Bort, welcome to the call. What do you have to share, buddy?
thought.
What'd you do?
What'd you do,
What's
Bort?
ha
What'd
what's
you
what's what's happening?
do? Sorry, I was out walking my dog and I got distracted.
All good. Gus needs his outside time.
Yeah.
You mourning already?
Huh?
Yeah, he's out shedding a tear in the backyard for Tyreek. Had to put a little plot out. Rest in peace,
Did you guys already talk about that trade?
Tyreek Hill, 2021. No, not even a single bit. We were
No.
holding off until this exact moment. So the
Got
floor
it.
is yours, my friend.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the championship and everything. You guys finished up there?
I mean,
Seemingly,
I don't know that we're finished. Jeremy, did you disagree with what I thought, or what do you remember from those discussions?
no, I mean it was pretty straightforward. I mean, I think Kamish laid out couple different options right off the bat. It was basically, we're going to sell all this, you know, the reactions for the first couple days. Everybody had a point of view, if not multiple. And I think this was a unique situation because it was an Empire League and it could have decided the end of it. You know, in a bunch right. of other leagues that I'm in, it was basically, hey, let's, we're going to top pot. You got gold champions. This was clearly a unique situation. So hopefully we never run into anything like this again. But I think if we do, we have some work to work off.
I'll say it. Jeremy's team is good enough. He's going to be back anyway. So, I mean, like,
there you go.
If we're delaying the inevitable by 2 years, I mean, like, we're really benefiting Jeremy at this point.
Man, I don't know about that. I feel like things have changed since that day. It felt like we were on death's door, and it seems like things are a little more competitive in the top handful of teams now.
Agreed.
I will say I was in one other league where that game could have changed the impact, and the commissioner in that league did the same thing that ours did, which was the points that got scored were the valid points and were. tough luck for you know the Josh Allen owners and guys like that, and bummer, try better next year, I guess. You know, it's like a tough pill, shitty pill, it's but crazy. I don't know what else you do.
Well, and Ben, you alluded to it. That brings me to something I wanted to get to. Jeremy, from that point, or from wherever timeline you want to pick from, what's been your bird's eye kind of as you've been a playoff team since the beginning? I know you weren't in the championship in year one. That was Mark and Josh. But I think ever since then, you've either been in the championship or won it. And so I'm curious your bird's eye view, so to speak, of fail as whether like from when the league started or even from this post off season, like what have you seen teams try to do knowing that you're definitely a target at the top? How have you seen teams try to orient their rosters to try to be competitive with yours?
I think it's tough. I think Josh started it with the draft with Deshaun and Kyler. And I think that none of us at the time realized how important the quarterback position was. I think that when I made the move for Herbert, I think it was a little ahead of the curve. And you watch teams like Jonathan now. I mean, he had to basically zig when everybody else is zagging. Mm. He's got no other choice. He's got to rely on A-Rich. So hopefully, if he pans out, he's going to smash. But
right.
If there are no quarterbacks available, I mean, you got to fill in the spots elsewhere. I had someone messaging me today about one of my quarterbacks. It's like, it would take just an extreme.
Wow. Wait, one of Allen or Herbert?
One of Allen or Herbert. It's like,
props to him for reaching out, but that seems crazy.
Well, you have to reach out. You have to see what the market is.
I got a starting quarterback. I got a starting quarterback for $54 today. So I'll just say that. Big baller award. Let's go. Come on.
Sam Cassell is in the building somewhere.
For week one, you might have a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Jeremy, what? A heap of those dollars at the end of each season. So I figure I might try a different strategy this year. We'll see what happens.
Hey, anything's possible. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring up Jonathan. His team is the most obvious. His team is the most obvious example of zagging when everybody else is zigging, or vice versa. He's gone absolutely crazy over running backs, and I don't think he's done. Like, if he can start a running back in every single spot and have even running backs that are studs be guys that are on his bench, I think he would love to suffocate the running back market and own every single stud or as close to as many as possible and let every other, like 10 out of the other 14 teams be suffering.
Yeah.
I think when you, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, speaking from somebody who's recently been looking for running back help, he has definitely cornered the market. And has definitely set the price, but at the same time, now the fact that he owns such a majority of these high-end running backs, he can kind of create his new price now in order to get them, because they're high scoring running backs. And if you need one, I guess you're going to have to pay up. But I mean,
because the other running backs aren't going to be available.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he went from 10 first round picks to now having none. Granted, he used some of them this year, but I'll be interested to see how his strategy pays off.
But I mean, I would say Jonathan is not close to a lock for the playoffs, but he's got better odds than not. And that's, I think, especially with Ben as the champ, that's the mindset is like, hey dude, get me in the playoffs. Like, I think
all you have to do is
if you're bullish on your team and think your team is better than Ben's or can beat Ben's on any given week, then absolutely be going for the playoffs this year. And I think we're seeing teams do that, where last year it was Jonathan and I that tanked before the season even started, knowing that our teams didn't have a shot to go after Jeremy. Right. And so it's been interesting to see teams now be reluctant to tank. Teams like myself.
Yeah. This year's going to be extremely interesting. We don't have an obvious tanking team.
No.
And the teams that are, you would think would be tanking, don't own their own firsts.
I know.
So there's no incentive.
I know.
It's crazy the way that things have panned out.
Yeah, I think this season has the opportunity to be one of the most competitive in this league's history, but even the previous iteration of the league, because of the fact that at the top, I think there's realistically five or six teams that feel like they can win a championship, no problem. If the things mm-hmm. go right, they can win a championship. And there's not going to be, at least right now, the 1 to 3 teams automatically tanking that we know of from the get-go. So everyone's going to be trying to win. Which will make it tough, and add that into the fact that there's one extra playoff spot that will keep some more of the fringe teams in the middle, give them a better chance at that shot at a championship. Into the last spot, right? I mean, like, I think it's gonna be wild. It'll be fun to see.
It's crazy, but like Canute just grabbed Jimmy G and now is positioned to, if he were to choose to, despite owning his pick and being able to control that however he so desires, even if he didn't want to tank for 101, and still saying, you know what, I'd rather get Jimmy G and try for the 7th playoff spot. And I mean, it's the new rules. I'm very like this seventh playoff team. We're even talking about it now, but I think it's going to be a huge talking point within the league for years to come. As far as, is it like, if half the team is a playoff team and I'm a fringe team, what is worth me being close to that 7th spot to A, not be in the toilet bowl, and B, If the league continues to gain parity, I don't know. Jeremy not winning last year, in my mind, opened up the league to thinking well beyond 2024.
You're welcome.
But, thanks, Ben.
I love that there's no respect on my team to have the ability to repeat. Where hey. as soon as I had a chance to beat Jeremy, everyone was on board with it, because no one was scared of what I put on paper. But
yeah, Ben, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but back in my day when you won one year, no one was willing to trade with you.
So sure. Yeah, what now, Ben's been
I'm curious. Ben's made 2 deals in the offseason.
Who are those governors?
Eli, Mark. All I heard was, sorry, bro, can't, not going to trade with you. Can't give you. I remember talking to you. You're like, I can't sell you players for picks.
For sure.
At that time. And I couldn't move them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a level of respect for you, Jeremy, or a level of disrespect for Ben.
I think it's some of both, and I'll take it. It's fine. I'm happy with the deals that I've made. So if guys are willing to send me players and I'm going to plug into the starting lineup, so be it. I'll do it.
Here's what Ben gets to say. He's like, hey, I've won in the old league and in this league. Don't talk shit to me. Don't talk shit to me. And little brother Peter, baby brother Peter, is more than willing to push his toe across the line every once in a while.
I went in the old league, and it was definitely a flash in the pan off the back of Todd Gurley. The win in this league, this last year, you know, you could say it was a fluke because of all the, you know, all the shenanigans, whatever.
What was it, 17 points or 16 points, something like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
17? Okay.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, did you order your Kamar Hamlin jersey?
Yeah, I should get one. I'd toss in a few bucks.
I should.
That would be
if I win this year, I'll buy myself one. I'll be sure about it. You don't have to donate.
What's he gotta do this year?
No, if I win, if he helped me win the first of a league ending team, then I'll respect that. I'll buy one.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. We've abstained long enough. Bort, you traded Tyreek Hill. We gotta get to the present. I mean, NFL week one starts tomorrow. What's up?
Literally, Tyreek plays tomorrow. So yeah, I don't know. I feel good about it. I know that I took a step back from Tyreek to Dotson. But in the same token, I'm kind of looking at a roster makeup, and I'm willing to take that step in order to gain a few other picks. I've also been looking around at adding a few other pieces as well. But I don't know. I have age, and Tyreek has already said that he's going to retire in a couple of years. Jonathan felt comfortable going all in with his roster. So I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like getting caught holding the bag. I didn't know if I was going to have the full makeup. And who knows? Maybe Dotson could still pan out to be a wide receiver one this year. I mean, he might not be the wide receiver 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, but even if I can have him be a top 14 wide receiver, I still feel decent about it. But we'll see.
For having made the trade, you don't sound enthusiastic.
You don't sound enthusiastic. The explanation makes sense, but you don't seem that excited about it. I probably get that though. When you're trading away the best player, it's tough, right? It's tough.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And so, like, I'm still a little hesitant and a little bit nervous to kind of like, if Tyreek is really like wide receiver 1 or 2, and Dotson has a pretty bad year, it's gonna look even worse for me. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm excited for Dotson. I like that he's 23. I made my team younger and gained a couple picks or a first in a couple of years. And I wanted to kind of touch on that too, because that is something you talked about, Jeremy, with, you know, a lot of these top, you know, worst teams not having their first round pick this year. And it's kind of made me consider now, like, okay, how far out do I want to hemorrhage my first round picks to get a player now? Because it's like, what if age does catch up and I'm selling the farm to get players to try and win now? Kind of like what Mark and what Josh did. And now look at their roster makeup. And they don't have their first, they don't have second. I mean, Mark now has, what, 4 first round picks, but none of them are his. And he can't control where any of them go. So it's like, I've been calculating on how to keep later first round picks as well. So gaining them as well. That way, if I do decide like, okay, this isn't the team, I can kind of sell for future picks and build going down the road, but kind of how Pete has done it. We'll see though.
I like if but how if go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was just gonna say I think another thing we're missing with the Dotson acquisition is now Bort's got a sneaky little stack. I just thought of it. It's sneaky. If Howell can actually, it could be something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of that was also like a part of it, to be honest. Like Dak is my quarterback too, but I mean, if they start going on a little bit of a streak, you know, it could be something that Howell gets tossed in there by Superflex, or you know, if Burrow isn't 100%, I've got another quarterback to throw in there. So we'll see. He looked good. He looked good to end the year. So as long as he can kind of carry on what he did to end the season, I'll feel good. And what, McLaurin is still hurt, right? So
I think he returned to practice this week or today, okay, yeah. Maybe.
Today, I think.
But even like, I think even how the seventh playoff team is chosen is total points, right? Does that still factor into it? So with the stack, let's say Dak gets dinged up, or you're like, hey, I need to try to make up some ground, and there's a really favorable, like if you get really into the nitty gritty and want to go, hey, on a certain week there's a really favorable air matchup that the Commanders have against a certain team, you could say, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and toss out Howell and Dotson and choose to bench Dak, and it gives you that option. And I think there's something to be said about acquiring picks that are multiple years out. I did that, and I now have Mark's pick. And had Sam's pick as well until I traded it. So I did that 2 years ago, and I was willing to hold on to those picks. And it's like, not saying that the teams that are trying to win now and are selling their picks are guaranteed to be bad in 2 years. Like, Jeremy, do you have your pick in 2 years?
I don't have any of mine.
Okay.
And Ben, in the Tyreek Hill trade.
There you go. So it's like, and there's no guarantee, and like Jeremy, there's no guarantee that your team's gonna be great in 2 years, nor is there any guarantee that it's gonna be horrible either. So it's like, if you acquire a pick in the late round plus a player of this like player of the same I'm not gonna say caliber, but hey, you're taking two tiers down at worst in receiver, but you're getting two early seconds or two mid seconds this year. I like it for you. I think the value's on your side.
Yeah, I did the same thing with finish last week or the week before with the Eckler trade. Tiered down.
What was that trade again?
But so it was Eckler and my 26 first, which Bort just acquired for Dobbins, DFT's first, and then Kamish's 25. which is kind of the one I wanted, because I wanted to see how this build works with his aging running backs, what that's going to look like.
I know.
And, you know, so 2 years out, that team could be a lot different.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
That's what's so fun for me is...
So like you have commissions in 26, Jeremy?
Seeing 25, I think you said. But I think, so clearly Jonathan's going for a different strategy than what Brent's going for, right? And uh-huh. both can find the value that they want for what they're uh-huh. looking out of their team out of a trade, right? Jonathan wants maximum points this year and next year because he knows that his running backs are not going to last forever, right? So he's really going for, at most, probably a three-year window, uh-huh. whereas Brent's thinking past 3 years because he's got Burrow – and he's got uh-huh. Jamar Chase, and he's got some young studs, but not a roster full of young studs, right? Uh-huh. And that's what's so fun about this format is the ability to find the value depending on what your strategy is. And I mean, I know you guys talking about some of the trades I made, you were scratching your heads, but that's just all based on what I'm trying to do with my roster. I uh-huh. felt uncomfortable with the way that my roster was set up and saw the opportunity to build in some more bench depth to give myself sustainability. That's what I was looking for. I want to be the perennial playoff team with a shot. That's what I'm going for. I don't want to be tied to the 2 year window and that's right. It's got to happen then. And if it doesn't, then I'm tanking again. Like fuck that. I want out of the bottom. I want to be in the playoffs every year. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I think I told Canute and I told Canute and Bort this today. I was like, to have a team that I'm finally somewhat excited about for the first time since I had Saquon as a rookie in the old league feels kind of incredible.
Yes, dude, let's go.
So it's like, so Ben, like you saying that to me, even like 8 months ago would have fallen on deaf ears. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm trying to fucking win it. Like win it. But I think there's value in realizing that the way the league is set up, you can take advantage of the extra playoff spots. And if you can be a playoff team, like there's something to that. And then depending on the year, any team has a shot because guess what? You're in the dance.
For sure. Eli last year was not in the playoffs, but if he would have made it, he would have been beaten almost everybody every week. He was on a tear.
Would he have been champ?
I don't remember. I remember I did it. I think he might have lost in one of them, but I don't remember.
Yeah, Pete, you've turned things around. I like what you've been putting together. You know, there. Let's not forget there was another trade today. Some of that excitement for your team.
That's right. Yes, dude.
Hey,
some depth.
I gave up critical quarterback depth for a player that I'm pretty, I don't know, not irrationally high on, but I'm pretty high on given his injury. I mean, like he tore his ACL, but he's back for week one and Dalvin's there for this year, which I actually don't mind. I think that's probably good for Breece long-term, is saying, hey, on a year that you're recovering, I don't need him to take an 80% workload. Like if there's talent around him and he can be even better or just as good a year from now and be 24, like, hey, I'm okay with that. And I think the way my team is even set up to hopefully compete, that's even more advantageous for me. Like, hey, if I can be a playoff team this year, great. I don't own my pick, so that'd be awesome. And I'd love to have a shot to win it. But I know I'm not going to get last, and that to me is a win enough. And I can be okay with even having my pick be 105 and not owning it. You know, like if things break wrong for me, I'm okay. You know, like that's where my head is at, knowing – And fingers crossing again, like we don't have any teams that own their pick, aka Canute and Matt, who decide to tank. Like if that doesn't happen, 1 through 4, I don't think a decent shot of having 2 out of those 4 picks, and I'll shoot my shot with those guys and have the darts fall where they may. And I don't know. I also don't think I'm convinced of Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, even though he's a starting quarterback right now. And nobody else was interested.
I think if that's how you feel,
that's not true.
I think if that's how you feel, then getting Breece Hall for him is killer.
I like it. And Mark needed a quarterback, so I was happy to take advantage.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is you found the perfect suitor.
Yeah,
is Mark that didn't have any after Colt McCoy got released, so right. He's sitting there with nothing in the bag.
And the quarterback, the teams who had quarterback, aka Brent, sold mm-hmm. one of them. And I Brent, did you have conversations with Mark about Jimmy or quarterbacks in general? You can say yes and not elaborate. You can say no, you can do whatever. I'm just curious. I'm curious where Mark's head was at here.
Yeah. To me, it was kind of one of those things. And I know a long time ago, Jeremy had reached out to me. And so it was kind of funny because Pete said, oh, Jeremy messaged me. He started laughing because we were on a call and he goes, oh, Jeremy just said, I think I missed a chat somewhere. because Jeremy had reached out to Pete a couple weeks ago, and he was like, if you're ever going to sell Pickett, because Pete didn't know at the time, make sure and like reach out to me and see if,
right.
You know, if I can get
no, there. I had said, I will let you know if I'm going to send Pickett, I'll let you know. And I fell through on that promise. So yeah, that's, that's an apology I need to make on air. So, so Jeremy, I apologize for letting you down.
Damn.
I would tell you this right now. I was not going to offer you more than what you got. So you made the right call.
And to be honest, here's the thing too. I'm not going to air much laundry, but there was another governor who was in conversations with Mark, about Brees as well. And he had told me, and I had said to him, I was like, hey, here's the deal I have in place. I would have in place with Mark. Do you want to get in a bidding war? Like, full transparency, I'm not interested in doing things where I'm unintentionally upping the price if I don't need to.
You want to only be intentionally upping the price. You want to be
right, like only
upping the price.
Like, hey, I'm happy to barter. Don't get me wrong. I am more than happy to barter and nitpick in as many places as necessary. But I want to be upfront about it. So, I like Breece Hall, and I needed running back, so I'm stoked about it.
Well, It's so funny how Mark works, because he got desperate. And to be honest, like, it was maybe a month or maybe longer ago, I had reached out to him about trading Dak for Breece Hall. And he told me that he viewed Sam Howell over Dak. Now, I don't know if that was... Like,
he's gotta be bullshit.
And I'm assuming it was.
He's gotta be bullshitting.
Like, that's why, like,
he's bullshitting like 90% of the time.
I commend you. He's made
and he's won it twice
in like a three week time frame.
I
tried talking to him about Sam Howell and he wasn't interested. And then I talked to him about Jimmy and he just was like not taking anything serious. So then I just shipped Jimmy off. And then as soon as I did that, he was like, oh, so I assume you're not going to trade any more quarterbacks. And I said, no. So then he was left with what was probably the only quarterback even remotely left on the open market. And he had to pick up one of his top pieces to get it. So I'm like, I don't know.
Because I probably could have asked for two firsts and 24 instead. He has four of them. But I'm like, I would rather get something. I would rather get something sure at this point. And the only sure thing left on Mark's roster is Breece Hall.
Well, pick so it
it's like
your
that has now Breece that has to be the ask. Right. Jeremy, what's been your history with Mark in fantasy football? Have you played in other leagues with him, and what is he like?
I think, you know, Mark and I, I think we did the math. We have known each other longer than Knute has been alive.
That's amazing.
If that makes feel better about themselves.
That's my favorite fail stat of all time.
How old is Knute?
23
maybe.
Yeah, and Mark and I did the math. I think we've known each other. I think the baseline was 24 years. So,
wow.
We played in some redraft leagues, but you know, nothing like this. No dynasty leagues. I remember him reaching out to me or asking me, you know, advisor questions on trades for dynasty for this league when it was the old league. Okay. And I remember
he was reaching out for advice.
Not advice, but like, what do you think about this? Like, blah blah blah. And I told him, I was like, if there's ever an opening in that league, let me know. And that's when you guys went from, I think, 12 to 14 mm-hmm. in this one. Because I was bidding on that open spot.
Were you
that went for what, three? Wow. Is that Borden won that, right?
Some idiot paid like $400 to get it.
450.
I saw the roster. My stopping point was $50. That's where my auction bidding stopped.
Bort, I remember a conversation that I had with Bort. I was like, Brent, odds are, even if this league ends, there's going to be a new one, and you would be the 12th. Like, you would be the 12th owner, not having any idea that commission was going to expand to 14. So, like, that was my pitch to Bort. I was like, hey, if you want it, like, it's probably more than just a 1 year thing, even though the odds are that it's just a 1 year thing.
But it ended up being 2 years.
It did, I think.
I think I was in there for 2 years. But, I mean, to be honest, though, like, if nobody left and it would have been 12 teams, mm-hmm. even if one person would have left and Sam and Eli still split. So, oh, well. It was an investment.
Hey. It was an investment.
The league thanks you.
Is that the backstory that Sam and Eli were co-owners
yeah.
and split mm-hmm. off into their own?
Gotcha. Yeah, they were co-owners.
You would send a trade offer to Eli. You would need to talk to Sam.
Yeah, that's how it worked.
They made it work, but I think it was much better that we've all got just solo owners. We lost a couple other guys who were uninterested in continuing. So there was still
Corey moved to Thailand or the Philippines or something, and he just I don't think could do it because of the time difference. And yeah, he's like, and I can't make it work.
And bullied the other guy. Yeah,
I bullied the team.
Yeah,
for trading with Chris. I believe it was Julio Jones.
Yeah,
he traded Julio Jones, who made a difference in Chris winning back to back and ended it.
Because didn't he trade him like Doug Baldwin and something else?
It was Mike Evans and Russell Wilson. But Evans was injured.
And it was only a standard league. So Russ was like, oh, even if he was QB6, it was like, dude, he's like mid at best.
Yeah, it was outrageous. Ugh. Well, because his quarterback got hurt. Whoever his quarterback was got hurt. I heckled him. I have kept a consistent policy of not trading with the
champion. Didn't he have Cam?
He had Cam Newton. That's what it was. I was kind of a dick, but like, I don't know. I also hate watching Chris win because he's so condescending about it when he wins. Like, I love Chris. I love him so much. And I make deals with him more often than I think anybody else. So, like, I respect him a ton. I love him. But he is insufferable when he wins. And so it made me so mad that the guy who ended it. Like, it set me off. I couldn't handle it.
Well, and he had won it separately too. So it wasn't just that he went back to back, but he had also won it 2 years earlier and there was a gap year. And then he comes back and just goes back to back again. Time. It was like, gosh, dude, sick as this so guy.
Mad. It made me so mad.
It's funny you say that because I literally was just talking with Pete about this. And I was like, I love Chris too. Because honestly, like when it comes to fantasy, he's freaking smart, he knows his stuff. And I told Pete, I love losing version of Chris because when he wins, he is insufferable.
It's hard to be in the same.
Chris, I love you. I'm not gonna say anything negative about Chris. Chris is great. So Jeremy, had you done Dynasty format before joining Fail? And what were your dynasty championship teams like for those leagues?
Boy, you guys are not gonna like the answer to this. Fail
you've
was
never,
my
you've never done it, start. Have you? I fucking hate you.
Nope.
God damn it.
And since the inception of that, I think I'm in eight dynasty leagues.
Dude.
But this one is by far my favorite, and just the way it's set up, the way it's run, the way that, and this is a shout out to Kamish, and I think we've said it a couple times in the chats, but shout out to this league and the way it's set up. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day about starting another one next year, and I was like, we have to follow these guidelines. It's the way it's set up, the rules are in place. There's expectations set, like it's all set in stone, and that's just the way it is. There's no drama. There's none of that. So
I love to hear
this
that.
This is
so
by
much.
Far my favorite.
Courtesy of not Charlie.
I love that. Dude, Jeremy, you've been a fantastic addition in the way you handle. I mean, we joke about it, and I love that we can laugh about it, right? You know, I'm sure tons of guys would have been so butthurt about how things went down, and just would have been, it could have been toxic and nasty. And so I appreciate you for showing up the way you do. And I will second everything you said about the way that Kamish has intentionally set up this league, now the second iteration. I mean, I've been friends with Jonathan. You making a joke about being friends with Mark for longer than Knut's been alive. I think there's definitely at least three people in this league that I've been friends with for longer than Knut's been alive. My little brother being one of them. I mean, I remember Kamish talking to me on the phone for hours leading up to the start of the original league when that kicked off was that 2014. He was like, dude, Paul Cherchian's got this great idea and I want to do it. But we need to get this thing set up in like a legitimate way, because there could potentially be big money on the line. And like, I don't want to be just ad hoc throwing it together. So he went into it very, very intentional. And I honestly think the second iteration with the super flex and all the flex spots is just a massive improvement on what he started in the first one. I was a little hesitant with how interesting and goofy mm-hmm. this new format was, but like, I love it. I absolutely love the flexibility that it provides. And even just outside of fantasy, I love that this group is so fun and chit chats about all sorts of random stuff on Discord. And like, it's more than just who's winning the fantasy football championship, but it's like, hey, we're actually, you know, laughing and having a good time in the off season too.
Couldn't say it any better myself.
You know, I gotta plug another guest that you should have. You gotta have Texas Dan on to talk about his Empire League, because me talking his ear off about how cool this setup was in the original Empire League got him to be the startup commissioner of his own Empire League. So you got to get him on the podcast to talk about that one. Theirs is still going. I believe they started 1 year after our Empire League, so 2015, but they haven't had anyone go back to back yet. So dang. they're still rocking.
They're encroaching on year 8.
Yeah,
no repeat.
Is that what it would be? Yeah, you should see if you can get him on and chat about that one, because that could be fun. I think he's actually good in that league too, so maybe you could get some perspective on why his team's so bad in this one.
Yeah, I have just a few questions. No, I've been peddling Pickett to Minnesota Dan for what feels like months. And he was like, sorry, man, I'm just not interested. And then as soon as I traded him today, I pinged him. And I was like, I'll leave you alone now.
And then they made their side bet about Zach Wilson starting a game.
Yeah, so random. Yeah,
dude, he's convinced Zach Wilson, like Aaron Rodgers, is cracked out of his head and isn't going to start all 17 or anything like that. So. He's got his second QB, folks. Don't worry. For those of you who are concerned,
but that's the key. That he had one draft where he went Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, or maybe even vice versa. I mean, he took two quarterbacks in a draft, which you can't blame him.
No, I mean,
for the value there, it just didn't pan out. If those two hit, it's a completely different story.
Totally different ball game, because he already owned his picks. In 22 and 23 and 24. So if he hits on two QBs and he has his first to play with, sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the strategy moving forward. And it's interesting to go back to what we first talked about. Josh is the one who started it. And it felt like he had to pay up big time in the startup to get those guys. And I was one of them who was pretty critical. At least in my own head, I don't even know if I verbalized it on the pod or anything like that, but got him to the championship. So you can't blame him. And he's still got those guys on his roster.
Yep. I think that's before any of us realized how important the quarterback position was in Superflex.
because yeah. I've never been in a super flex league before.
No, right.
I mean, I haven't either.
No, I remember going into the draft. I had three guys that I wanted. One was a quarterback. I wanted Josh Allen. I wanted Nick Chubb, and I wanted Deontay. Those are the three I wanted to walk away with. And those three are still on my team. But I wasn't even looking at a second quarterback.
Right.
We do a redraft, or we start a new league today, Superflex, in an auction. I would love to see what those values are for the top 14 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I bet it would be astronomical, because everyone's going to be thinking the same thing. Everyone's going to be thinking how valuable they end up being because of how much more points even that QB2 can score you than any position player on a consistent basis.
Because we only know QB's value in this league in firsts. That's really the first equivalent in the form of a player or two or whatever that looks like, any combination of the two. And that's so way more subjective than a strict, hey, $200 budget on this set of players. Everybody has a chance to get. It's, you definitely see where allegiances lie in that startup sense, and that kind of forms the trajectory of the league. And Josh was way ahead of the curve on that.
Do you remember what you paid for Josh Allen, Jeremy, in the startup?
I don't. I think Eli and I were the last ones to spend any money. So I had a ton at the end. I think I grabbed JJ for like $5.
Yeah, that brings me back.
And CD. You also had him as a rookie too, but you traded him to Bort.
Yeah. I know, like thinking back.
For Eckler.
Thinking back. That's right. I remember sending that trade, and then you smashed accept so fast. And like I was literally like,
you were like, oh fuck.
I wanted to message commission and be like, I didn't need to send that so bad.
Just because of how quick Jeremy accepted it.
Yeah.
I remember sitting on the patio that night, and I had a few in me already. And I saw the offer, and I was like, I don't think I'm seeing this right. But I was like, okay. And then I remember, messaging, or I think Mark reached out to me and said, I don't think Bort meant to do that. And I was like, well, I mean, if he didn't want to do that, like, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to be like, you're lost, man. Like, I would reverse it if you wanted to, but I think overall, the value of CD and Eckler they were kind of similar throughout the last couple of years.
Eckler's definitely had a higher peak as far as ranking within his position, but I don't know what the correlation of like points scored per season is between him and CD, especially in a full PPR league. Like, Eckler still, I think, what, caught 90 footballs last year or 80 footballs or something crazy like that? Maybe not that many.
Well, I don't know. Ben, what do you want to give me for CD?
Oh, yeah, Ben's got him now.
I got him. You got to I'll take – I don't think I would take Eckler, honestly.
I'll give you a first.
Eckler's gonzo. Eckler's on
Johnny's. Well, I know he's gonzo, but I'm just thinking from my perspective now, same guys. I don't think I would take Eckler.
Going back.
Here's for me, realistically, my two top wide receivers, I'm not moving them unless it's for another top wide receiver at this point. I need those two guys. I was willing to part with one of the three because I felt like I needed the upgrade at the other positions. But if I would have known that Mark would have traded me Pollard just for picks and a bench tight end, then I never would have traded Waddle. So,
that would have been scary.
I don't know.
You had those before trading Waddle, right? You had all of those picks, or did you get some of those assets that you traded to Mark?
I got my own first back from Eli when I traded Waddle, and I moved that plus a future further out pick and commit to get Pollard. But so I mean I would have had the ammo to get him, I guess. Fair points. Anyway. So it'll take a lot to get CD is what I'm saying. I'll take I'll take Herbert. I'll take Herbert maybe.
Yeah, I bet you would. I think a lot of people would.
CD and Kirk for Herbert. Should we do some live trade talk?
Hey. Jeremy.
Okay. I mean, it's just an offer. You like Lance better? We could do Lance.
No. Ben, I feel bad. I feel bad for you, bro. Yeah. I feel bad for you. That's tough.
What was it? What was it?
That trade definitely didn't turn out how I thought it would, but I won the championship, so I'll take it.
And you turned down, you were offered, I heard, Lance for who? Who was
Yeah, that? Someone offered, Jimmy. Wasn't it Jimmy Garoppolo?
Was it Jimmy?
It was.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. I want.
You offered Jimmy?
Yeah, Brent offered me Jimmy straight up for Lance. That doesn't move the needle enough for me. I'll take my chances with the two QBs that I have as opposed to. I mean, if I need to play Jimmy, I don't know that Jimmy will be enough to win me a championship. So if I need a third quarterback, I'm gonna be effed anyway.
I mean, he's no Heineke, David Blau, but
yeah, David Blau won you a ship.
Yeah,
that's true. He's got the ring. I just got my guy. I got Dobbs today. I got him for $54. Hey. He's my Jimmy. He's my Jimmy replacement.
He's your. What if he could string? What if he could string it together for 17? Huh?
That'd be so sick.
Bad enough for the Cardinals to keep starting him.
That's what I'm saying. And he has a killer week in week 17. I'm looking at his schedule right now. Who's he play? He plays Philadelphia. They could score a bunch of points.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be down by a ton. They're going to be down by a ton.
They'll be throwing it a lot. Let's go all day. Josh Dobbs, week 17.
That D-line is going to eat him up.
Jamie, you want to make you there. You want to make an online bet on who starts more? Cardinals games, Tom.
No, I don't want to bet. I only bet in Fab dollars, and I bet the most. So
hey, he won.
I win.
Ben's flexing his big baller muscles right now.
Yeah, do I have the tag yet, Kamish? Add the big baller tag to me. DFT doesn't deserve that thing anymore.
Hey, Kamish, you've gotten enough praise. Now quit being inactive and be a Kamish.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm curious. I'm curious, Jeremy, obvious Vikings fan. What are your thoughts on the Vikings this season? We haven't talked much pro ball, and I'm curious on your thoughts on the actual squad going into the year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think locking up Hockenson was huge. I have a feeling that JJ's deal is coming shortly. I know they're trying to get something done before end of the week, so got a couple days to do this. But yeah, this year's gonna be. I think it's gonna be tough. I like the Lions. I like the Lions. Mm. I think they put together a decent squad. I think we got three, four solid pieces. But Detroit's put together a full squad. So
yeah,
I think the division's up in the air for sure.
I'm for some reason optimistic about this team. I'm enchanted by B-Flow.
Yikes.
Yeah, when you've been
I don't know why sports fan, it's tough. I can't do it.
When you've been a Minnesota sports fan as long as I have, that optimism will eventually go away. Okay. Don't believe
me. I know. Oh, trust me. I'm plenty pessimistic for Borts. Most years, aren't I? Oh, is he frozen? Oh, there he goes.
I was just looking at the win over unders in Vegas, and I'm surprised, but the Lions are one game higher than the Vikings for the over under. I didn't realize that. I honestly don't pay that close attention to NFL, like team wide analysis.
Yeah.
I'm pretty siloed into my fantasy teams. I think the Vikings, I mean, clearly the Lions will have an easier schedule, right? Finishing worse than the Vikings last year. So they're not having to play all the other division winners, things like that.
Right.
If the Vikings defense can be better though than last year, improve with a new system, new faces a little bit, hopefully the offense can continue to chug along even without Dalvin. I think that's clearly the way the NFL is going. More plug and play, you know, lower round draft picks and make it work and rely on the passing game. So I love that for my fantasy team. Kirk hopefully throwing a ton of footballs. Let's go.
Come on, Kirk.
I don't know. I trust. Feels like the Lions. I feel like Goff isn't trustworthy to win the tight games and like out duel the other elite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Eli's gonna need him to come up clutch. Jeremy, final fail topic for you. Floor is yours as far as your team. You can chat anything you want about it. Your thoughts on your team this year and moving forward with the, I know you made a few moves this offseason, sending Eckler, getting Dobbins, as well as a pick, a few pick swaps that you got Texas Dan's pick this year and sent a few. Give us your evaluation and your thought process on, okay, thinking, hey, if I'm going to have to end it, it's going to have to be 2 years in a row again. Did that factor into any offseason moves that you made?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the nice part, and again, I spoke about it earlier, but Ben, you might not know what this feels like, but it's just nice to have the handcuffs taken off to be able to trade again.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to work out the Jenkins deal with Eli since last year.
That's right. Really? So, okay.
Moved JJ and a first for T. Moved off of Pittman for two firsts. Moved Eckler for Dobbins and two. Yeah, it's just nice to be able to have the talks again and not hear.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. I'm not going to be the one that ends the league.
Were you inquiring about those players specifically in your run to end it? Were you reaching out for those specific players, or was it just more, hey, any players that you think could help you in that season?
Yeah, anyone. I think I've had my eye on T. Higgins for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know that Eli's known that, and we've had ongoing discussions. And I think when that deal was being close to being done, my wife sat down and asked me, she asked me if I was cheating on her because I was on my phone so much texting. And I was like, I am trying to work on a trade.
Did you have to show?
So no way.
Did you show the text logs of like, oh, I love
you had I you love had to show the receipts.
So Eli, I appreciate you taking so long because you almost got me again.
Go! Wow, there's no, there are no words.
That's too
it
much.
Was like, that is it was like a Saturday. We were just going back and forth,
just going day, nuts.
Yep. But no, I think it's just nice to have those conversations again and not get shut down right away. So it's fun again, man. Like that's the interesting thing about the Empire is like, if you think you're gonna win, you have to prepare ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
To be like, can this team without any moves do it again for another 17 weeks?
Right.
Because if you're stuck, you might not be able to make any moves. So uh-huh. it's planning ahead and seeing that, man. This thing's going to run a full another year without any moves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I think there can be lucking into a championship, but there is no lucking into ending an empire.
Right.
Like, oh,
no doubt.
Get luck, like fall ass backwards into a championship. But no one's going to be able to replicate it twice just based off of injury, like, just injuries across the league and who gets injured, what, like, just be based off of that alone. Not to mention the fact that you brought it up right away was the spoken about trade embargo that champs, most champs, go like undergo to some extent, Ben to a lesser extent somehow. I'm curious to see once the season starts what that looks like. I'm very curious to see what owners, because I'm still not, like, Ben, I've tried to trade with you. you won't trade with me. So Ben's trade embargoing himself. And in that case, I don't know what's up, dog, but you don't want to send me CEH for some reason, which I find odd.
Hey,
I'll say it.
All right. I forgot about that. Did I shut it down that quickly?
You did. You're like, yeah, man, not interested.
I got some more also, running backs now. So
I also reached out for P. Ryan, and you're like, yeah, no, dog. I was like,
ouch. Dude, I like P. Ryan. I like P. Ryan a lot
second?
This year. I like P. Ryan a lot this year. Okay. So
that's fair. Peyton loves to use two running backs, and Javonte's hurt.
And I don't trust that they're going to be good enough for them to need to rely on Javonte. So I think P. Ryan is going to get more of the load. We'll see.
Sam was offering. Speaking of Javonte, Sam was peddling. I mean, I'll ask you guys thoughts on this. He was offering Javonte and a first for Breece, and I said no. So I'm in the same boat. I like Javonte. Don't get me wrong, but if I could have the choice between the two, and I'm sick of having firsts. Like, I'm not trading them, but I'm not looking to acquire any more firsts. And that's where I'm like, I've played the first lottery way too long. I've played it. I played it in 2021, and who knows on Kyle Pitts? Still not sure. I played it in 2022, and I drafted Sky fucking Moore at 106. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, what am I doing? I can't do that anymore. So I'm sick of it. So that was my.
You just turned that 108 that you drafted Pickett for into the 101 that current year, that same year.
Right, but I don't think that trade, just based off of the circumstances of my roster and Mark's roster. Yeah. I don't think that trade can really, like, it doesn't feel fair to be able to, like, yes, it's an example that can be used, but it's a very, Mark had zero QBs.
Yeah,
it's a very specific.
And he's like, I don't know. I'm not going to say he's still going to get 101, but, or he's still going to be be odds favorite for last, but I don't know.
And I think that was,
but you're right.
Going back to commission too, I think that Jonathan, it basically said, like, look, I just want to win. I want to taste victory, that tanking for a full year. And yeah, it's great to acquire 10 picks, 10 first round picks. That's awesome. But man, that's going to be tough to go a full year. It's not fun.
It's really not fun. No. And I think I was talking with Peter while we were on our little road trip this weekend. Like, I give props to Canute, but that's also for his unwillingness to tank. But that's also a grind if you're kind of stuck in no man's land without the high draft capital to get some more of the surefire quarterbacks and really highly touted players who are more of a can't miss. But yeah, I mean, you know, we always are going to value the higher picks because there's a higher chance that you get a better. But at the end of the day, typically seems like most years after you get past two or three guys, they're all dart throws. And you know, if you got a bunch of darts, some of them are going to hit, but it's a tough game to play to be perpetually just trading for value that includes picks, because sometimes that first value isn't really going to become real. So I think for you, Peter, I don't know. I think you've got enough depth right now. You're shooting for kind of next year as a target. Like, let's go for wins. You've already got two high picks to add to this roster. I don't think adding more picks is the play, but
and the other non 24 picks that I do own are mine, and it's like, okay, I love having leverage over.
For sure.
I love being able to do that.
For sure.
Oh, Jeremy, any predictions for the season? Do you want to get into that, or do you want to keep things tight to the vest? What are your thoughts overall? Fail for 2023.
I mean, overall fail. As it sits right now, and it may have changed after what Bork did, but Chris is going to be tough to beat. I looked through Chris's roster, and he's got a squad.
Yeah.
And it's
going to be good.
You may not want to admit it. I know. I'm a fan of the Baltimore Ravens this year. I think with Monken coming in, I think that new offense, and that was part of my justification for Dobbins. Dobbins is in a contract year, playing in for a new offense. And I think that he can do some work, but I think if Lamar stays healthy, I'd put money down that Lamar takes MVP, league MVP this year, if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I could see it.
I think that offense could be super scary.
Yeah, Chris, and that's not to mention Mahomes, who is going to be top three.
Who is Mahomes?
Pretty much guaranteed, right? Unless he's hurt. And then he's got Hockenson and Andrews and Garrett Wilson, who, if Aaron Rodgers plays 17 games, hard to argue. I don't know. I mean, we know what Aaron Rodgers does with alpha wide receiver ones. Davante Adams. Before that, Jordy Nelson, right? It's like, dude, even Jordy was elite. James Jones was a wide receiver one for the years he was in Green Bay. Yeah, I'm so you're picking Chris if you were to pick a team or that you're most scared of or keeping your eyes on the most. I'm going to pick Jonathan's. I think if Anthony Richardson is utilized in the ground game to any extent, like to any extent, like Josh Allen, as a rookie, I think they're going to scheme enough production out of him in the passing game. And if he gets end zone looks, he's going to score a bajillion touchdowns, and it's not going to be very fun to play Jonathan every week.
Yeah, A-Rich,
to go up against him and
his range of outcomes, he could break fantasy or he could be an absolute bust.
And I don't know if there's any in between. Is there any in between?
I don't think so either. I mean, it's a huge bet to make.
I know.
But in that position, I would have done the same thing. Bijan and A-Rich, 1-2, done deal.
Yeah. Yep. Shoot your shot, because if they hit, look out. All right.
Do you, Peter, have any regrets or things you would do differently with your draft pick trade with Jonathan now that we are
week one
of the NFL season? I don't remember exactly, but you ended up with CJ Stroud and JSN. No,
Bryce Young and JSN and Charbonnet. And technically Debo Samuel minus Kadarius Toney.
Okay. So that's your four pieces versus Bijan and Richardson. Would you do that again?
Who would you have taken at 101? Would you have taken
Bryce? I was gonna take Bryce Young at 101. Okay. I was taking Bryce Young at 101 regardless, and Jonathan, and I told Jonathan that, and we still traded because I don't think he believed
you.
I think he actually thought I was bullshitting, and I was being 1,000% serious. I was like, Jonathan, I'm taking Bryce at 101. And he was like, okay, I want to trade for it. And I was like, okay, who are you taking? He's like, Bijan. And I'm like, okay, if you're not going to give me, if you're not going to give me 102, then I need to know who you're going to take. Otherwise I'm not going to trade with you.
Right. No.
And he said, hey, and he said Richardson. And for some reason I believed him. Because I would have been pissed if it would have been Richardson at three. I would have been pissed.
And I'll say this on that note: when I've talked to people, and nobody's bullshit, and nobody's trying to stab someone else in the back. If and I'll be completely honest, I've had talks with Knut during the day. Hey, I'm looking at this guy, I'll be completely honest with you. I've heard it from other governors too, and nobody's flat out lied about their intentions, which I think is unique as well in this league, which I love.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'll take back something that I said a week ago. Like if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not in on that trade anymore. Like if my thoughts have changed, I'll let you know, but I'm not going to your face tell you something that is not genuine or not the truth like in that moment. But yeah, so I things that I would do differently. Honestly, no. 112 was the pick I was most worried about because I really didn't want to have to take Flowers at 12 and have no running back out of the draft. And Knute knew that and valued, I think Knute valued Charbonnet more than Flowers, and he still took Flowers. But again, that doesn't even feel like Knute. Like, yeah, I feel like Knute is so much to his board. But
yeah, for sure.
I regret trading 114 because that ended up I could have taken Mingo and had the Bryce Mingo stack, and had it been the cheapest way I could have gotten a stack. But for me, I'm not too convinced that stacks are that, like, depending on which ones you have, are that much more beneficial for a fantasy lineup given the way our league is set up. Like, okay, unless Mingo's a wide receiver seven and right. or better, or even wide receiver one, top end, mid wide receiver one, I'm like, not interested.
Right. Sure.
What were you saying, Jeremy?
No, I was just going to say, same thing you were saying. I mean, depending on the ones you have. I mean,
yeah.
If I could somehow pry Diggs off of TNT, right. I mean, I'd take that stack. No.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
DFT, if you're listening.
But anyone would take Diggs, right? Like anyone would pay up to get Diggs, right? Whether you have Allen or not. Like, I don't know that Diggs is more. I don't know that Diggs is more valuable to you, Jeremy, because you have Allen, right? And there's so much flexibility with all the flex spots for anybody to fit in the guy that they like.
Yep.
Agreed.
The idea, though, of that monster Sunday where your wide receiver catches three touchdowns from your quarterback, like, that's epic to think about. But the number of times that actually happens is like once a season for a duo, right? So it's like, all right, am I like hoping and praying that happens during the playoff game that really matters for me? You know, like, I don't know that really seems that realistic to try to plan around, or like take a lesser player to hope that stack then pans out for you.
Yeah. I think that's where the fun in fantasy football rules is, like, oh man, it's just fun to have, you know. Like, there's an aspect of that we can't avoid, you know.
That's true.
Like, oh man, it's kind of fun. It's kind of like, when I traded for Mahomes and Tyreek, neither of them were on my startup roster. And I gutted my roster to have those two, like an idiot. But guess what? It was fun.
The bigger question I have, not who you think is the favorite, but Pete, who do you think gets 101 this year?
I think I get it.
Well, okay. Peter gets
it. Which team gets it? I think Mark's team for sure is.
I think Mark is 101 with a bullet.
I think it is
by a margin.
I think 102 is very much up in the air, very much up in the air between Minnesota Dan and Josh and any team if they choose to tank. I'm still gonna keep that an option because I think the talent in this draft is crazy, but that's just me. And I'm slanted. Like, I mean, it's even interesting when Commish and Eli did their power rankings, Commish defaulted to Dynasty without even consulting Eli. And Eli was already thinking, hey, I'm trying to contend right now. And it skewed their rankings. And so it plays into this too. I think Mark's team, even with Pickett, I mean, it's 75 points, 80 points every week. With no bias considered.
I don't think Mark wins a game unless someone starts to purposely tank.
Right.
And it doesn't seem right now like there are any obvious choices. Like, I legitimately think that the two worst teams that own their picks, being Knute and Matt, in my opinion, I think they're both going to be in contention for that last playoff spot for a long time. And I would be a little bit surprised if they tried to tank, because I think both of them have the opportunity to potentially get that spot. So I personally right now would be surprised if Mark had more than one victory point all season, honestly.
I'd be hard pressed if I owned my own pick and I was fringe middling team, knowing that nobody else is tanking.
You're telling me I could get Caleb Williams?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be hard pressed not to full tank, and like, I will eat all the waffles you want me to.
But can you?
Who owns Jeremy's pick? Trade it to him. Come on, man. Let's see it. Come on, if you want Caleb. Granted, you may not have to work that hard, but
so that's hard to disagree with. But Knute has been so steadfast in his never tank policy, and Matt just had to do waffles once because of the toilet bowl. And I don't think that man has the mental fortitude to sit through that again. I don't think anyone really does. 2 years in a row, out of choice, having to think about that every week. I don't think Matt's up to that. I don't think any human would be. So, I mean, I don't disagree. Jeremy, if I was one of those guys, I would for sure be thinking about tanking, right? It would be what I would do. But I don't know if I see either of them doing it.
Yeah, this year, it's just going to be fascinating. I mean, we could be in week 7 or 8 and still not have – we could have just a cluster in the middle.
Yeah, probably. We will.
And no, it's not a race to the bottom, you know.
No,
it's right. It's almost like we're all just gonna be.
It's a race. It's a race to seven, five through seven, which is so odd.
Yeah, we're all gonna be lumped in the middle. This year's gonna be.
Because if the top four are in no order, Jeremy, Chris, Jonathan with Tyreek now, I'll put them up there, and Ben. Then you have Bort at 5, but then you have teams like Sam, teams like
DFT.
Eli.
You didn't even say
DFT.
Yeah, I was going to say.
When you guys were talking about your favorite rosters, I think DFT, in my mind, has a sneaky chance of being the best team, the number one team again, like he was last year. Because if Purdy can be a quality QB2, that DFT with Hurts at the top, he can be. He can, just like you were, just like Jeremy, you were saying with Chris's roster, having Lamar as an MVP type guy, I think Hurts has the ability to put up those kind of stats too. And Dan's got some scary guys on his team with Kelsey and Goddard, both racking up tons of 1.5 points for receptions. You know, he's got running backs.
And Saquon's playing for something.
Right.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So the way I see it is there's like 6 in my mind surefire playoff teams, 6 of them, being the 4 that you listed plus
DFT
and Bort. I think those 6, right? So Jeremy, Chris, myself, DFT, Bort, and Jonathan. I think those 6 are like, okay, those 6 should be in the playoffs. So then there's Peter, you, Sam, Eli, and then potentially Knute and Matt all fighting for that last spot. And I think Josh and Mark are kind of at a tier of their own with Texas Dan, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. But injuries happen. If one of my quarterbacks goes down, tomorrow. I'm probably out of the playoffs, right? I mean, that's realistically where I'm at. I think I can beat the 3 worst teams. But I don't think I can beat Peter if I don't have 2 quarterbacks. I don't know that I can be beating everybody on a consistent basis. So if Tua misses time, I'm probably out. That's where I'm at. I was hoping when I made the trade that Lance could be that backup, you know, 3rd quarterback guy. He's not. So now I got nobody. I got my big baller award, and that's it.
Yep. And your hot pizza right out of the oven. Shout out to Matt. Dude, thank you for the WMFAAR, especially on week 1 when it is as active as it could possibly be. Thank you for your service to fail.
That could be the only WMFAAR that he does all season, and it's worth it because I laugh so much. I laugh at so much at the way that Matt puts it together.
I do too. All right, gentlemen, I don't want to take up much more of your evenings. Thank you for the time already committed. Any final thoughts, Jeremy, or parting words as we enter into what is this, year four of Fail?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Year four. Okay.
Like I said, I can't wait. This year's going to be unique as hell, and it's going to be awesome to watch it play out. There's so many little intricacies throughout the course of the year. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch it all play out.
Ben, champion, you get the final remarks. It's all yours.
Oh boy, yeah. I mean, I'll echo all of that. This is so much fun. I'm excited for the season. It feels good after 2 years of being the worst team and having to do the punishments to be able to be the champ for even if it's just one season. I recognize that no one respects me and is still willing to trade with me. I recognize that, and I will take full advantage. I'm willing to wheel and deal, but no, I am not willing to trade players for picks. I do need players to win a championship, so I don't want your picks. But my inbox is open. Yeah, that's all I got. This is a blast. I still gotta update the stat sheet for this season. It'll be fun. Really briefly, Jeremy and Sam will be looking this season to continue to be the only people who have been in the playoffs every season of fail history. Okay. Both have been in the playoffs 3 years in a row. Jeremy and I are tied for the most playoff wins. I will just say that we each have 3 playoff wins. So that potentially could change this season. We have 3 teams who have not made the playoffs yet. So that would be Peter. That's you, Matt, and Texas Dan have not made the playoffs yet. So those 3 teams looking to get off the schneid. And man, this will be a fun year. Skull Vikings, F the Packers. Let's go.
You will be hit, listeners, with a true week one installment of Bach and Bort Project tomorrow. It will be listenable to prior to kickoff of Chiefs Lions. So get ready for that. Let's go. Thank you all for listening. Go. If you've listened to the M, listen to the end. Go ahead and react with JERM in the chat, in the podcast channel. And thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Jeremy, this has been fun. Peter, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for hopping on, gentlemen. Catch you next time.
Later. All right, see you.